I watched The Maze Runner this weekend.
Oh, how was
Shot
that?
locally. Shot locally.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome, actually.
Really?
A
Huh.
lot of edge of your seat feels. Like I had to like consciously relax my body at times. It was pretty tense.
Kind of like a Saints game.
Yeah.
Surface the pen lands on, Doc Kirby's hands on. What's the beef? The coolie high Koji's, high post techniques. I drape off poetic landscapes and shapes. Illustrate the paper space off the pens that paint. Then design what habit, National Geographic or magic with tailor made status and plus flavor that's automatic.
We're not falling, we take it back to the days and yes, shawling. We're holding on to what's golden.
On the stage, I rage and I'm rolling.
We're not falling, a shot calling. We take it back to the days of yes, y'all. We're holding on to what's golden.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. My drunk scale rating is a zero. Got a nice big tall bottle of water right here. But I did drink some Shock Top Oktoberfest, Sam Adams Oktoberfest during the game. And that seemed to do the trick. Wasn't drinking the same beer that I had been drinking. The Saints picked up their second win of the season, and the best way to introduce this week's show is to quote one of our favorite Twitter friends, Neil. He said, "It was a test of the fans' faith tonight, and it seems lots of fans came up very, very short." That's not to suggest that anyone's any less of a fan than the next person, but it does speak to the change in perception of a Sean Payton and Drew Brees Saints, in that we don't have the same level of confidence in their ability to dictate the outcome of a game anymore. That's going to be a tough pill to swallow for the next 11 games, and the bandwagon is sure to drop lots more of the people who climbed on board in the last 8 years, but not us. We're going to talk about the Bucs game. I think there's a Damon rant in here somewhere, and probably there will be some discussion about injuries and the return of Pelican Plunge. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Probably about the same as last week, just a .5. Got one drink in my cup, and that's all I'm going to do tonight. Just doing a drink out of tradition, I guess.
There you go. Damon, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Number?
Zero.
All right. As is tradition. So, you know, since we're not going to have a game preview this week, Saints got a bye week next week, let's do a From the Dome segment.
Excellent. I did something very, special, unique, I guess, this week.
Had sex in the dome with somebody?
Okay, so this week, I was on the field to unfurl the big Florida Lee flags they have on the field during team introductions.
How'd you do that?
I got an email from them a couple of weeks ago. If I'd like to do it, to send them my name and reply to the email, and I could be chosen in any way they chose
as
me.
As the Dome Patrol podcast?
No. Just as Damon the season ticket holder.
Damon the Dome Patrol podcast person?
.com.
Yeah.
Look, all those years of having Saints tickets finally paid off. You got to go on the field.
It's 1980. Okay, so how many years?
Right. So I got a ways to go before I can get on the field.
That long, and they put you to work. We needed to fold these flags up, buddy.
Yeah, wave this fucking flag around while the other people get to cheer.
It was fun. I mean, y'all know, look, I've been...
When you're done, can you load it up in the back?
I've been on the field before, pregame, whenever we go to do the testing of the officials.
Oh, they got to put you on the field.
Whenever I test the officials, I get a badge from the NFL, and it's an all access badge. I get an official, an NFL credential, so I get to walk everywhere. So I walk on the field. I walk anything that. But anyway, this time, like I said, it was very controlled, but it was very cool. I'd never been on the field during player introductions, which was very cool. Just, you know, being down there with the crowd into it and everything, that was fun. And for the after you unfurl it, you stand on the side for the national anthem. So it was cool.
So unfurl, you mean like you hold on to the big flag while they unroll it kind of thing?
Right, but it wasn't the American flag. It was we had to get there at 8:30 in the morning to do all kind of stuff. It was they really did ask a lot.
I was just leaving my house at 8:30.
Yeah, I had to meet
obviously Doug didn't go because we know he doesn't leave at 8:30.
Right, no, this is true. Right.
Dan, so wait, are you telling me that if I would have gone to the game with you, I would have been able to go on the field, or I'd have had to sit in the seat?
No. You could have gone on the field with me.
Oh no!
You know what? That's what you get.
That is what I get.
You could have saw a victory and been on the field, and a safety.
Yeah, right. Play your boy.
From your boy, you could have wore your Gillette jersey,
whose jersey was hanging safely and securely in the closet.
Hey, whatever works.
That's right.
Whatever works.
All right. So, Jason, what did you do? Top that.
we did the same thing. We went to eat at Lucy's at 9, ran into Max, Darth Saint, ended up eating with my dad, Courtney, Mr. Craig, my sister, Renee. So we had a nice group of us eat there. And
where'd you eat at?
Lucy's again.
Oh, okay.
Breakfast.
Yeah.
All right, and then
nice and easy, and you know, good drinks. But I mean, $4 Bloody Marys, you can't really pass that up.
Bloody Mary. So beautiful weather.
Perfect. I actually, the weather was so good. Renee and I went to the quarter for a while Saturday.
Yeah.
Just to hang out, just enjoy the weather, and kind of play tourist. So we just walked around the quarter for a couple hours.
As we saw from your texts.
Yeah.
You start drinking.
When you start drinking at 11 in the morning, it's. Even when you stop, I did stop and have a couple waters in between. I thought I was doing good.
That's smart. That's responsible of you.
Sensible enough.
Yeah, you're kind of mature now.
Getting there.
All right, so how was the stadium? Who did the who dat chant at the beginning?
I was
such a prestigious, y'all were debating over whether Tom Benson should do it or not. Now you don't even fucking care. You don't know.
I was in my seat with 15 minutes before kickoff, so I actually was there on time. I was talking to somebody when he did it, and I just missed it.
I don't know enough people's number to tell you the truth. I know Graham's 80.
Maybe it was Kyrie Fort.
I know Graham's 80, Breeze is 9, Gillette's 93.
I mean, Kenny Stills, let's play the number game. Kenny
84, Stills. 84.
All right. Brandon Cooks?
10.
10.
Mm-hmm. Akeem Hicks.
76.
I think you're right.
Oh, I know I'm right.
Okay. Curtis Lofton.
50.
Kenny Vaccaro.
32. We can move on from the number game. I'll give
right.
up. But then
whatever. All right, so then let's move into game recap. We'll be happy to recap. Well, I don't know if
some
you
people
will be
may
or
not.
Be
happy, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to read something that the Saints themselves posted on Facebook. Okay, and then I want to read the first comment that somebody made on it. Random fan. So they had a picture of Kyrie Robinson kind of doing that high step run into the end zone. You know, just a picture of him. And it has walking into work on a Monday after a Saints win, like, and then, like, you know, like him, like, oh, whatever. So this person, the first comment says, I love the Saints as much as the next person, but let's not get cocky. It was a sloppy, poorly played game, and we barely beat another 1-3 team. The Saints have a long way to go, and if they play like this all season, it's going to be a painful season. I mean, would you agree with that? I mean, we struggled to beat a 1-3 team. And we're all walking around. I know I walked around today like we just beat Seattle in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, that's very accurate. I mean, thanks for bringing me down. I mean,
let me pop your balloon right now.
Right, like you, I kind of felt, you know, I was excited, but but I can't really find much to disagree with there.
Look, there are definitely issues that can't be ignored, but look, I got to wear my W share yesterday, so I am fucking happy right now. Like, you know, it doesn't matter how we got a win. We got the win. Focus on our problems going forward. Let me enjoy a win for a day. And then we'll get back to what's wrong with why does Breeze keep throwing these picks? You know,
Which we're going to have to talk about that.
And look, he's always made, like as Damon had said before, he's always had games where he has made just stupid decisions, forced balls, you know, bad, not only picks, but pick sixes that are just bleh, like he shat on the field. And this is something he's always kind of done, at least for the last few years.
Right. I mean, I believe it. He always presses. Again, with, like, the one for the pick six, he was taking the, take the sack, man. Just take the sack and live to play another day. Those are the ones that infuriate me. I mean, I understand you want to win, you want to push it downfield, you want to, but just take the frickin' sack.
He makes mistakes trying to force it, knowing that we're having some offensive issues, but fuck, we still scored 37 points. You know, it's, I mean, really, it's just the, you know, the offense got into the lull midway through the game, but then just, look, I mean, without those turnovers, it's, you know, mm-hmm. one of the old kind of games that we're used to.
That's true. Actually, you want to say something positive about the defense for once. The defense is really the reason we won this game. Even though they let up 31 points, they held 24 off.
24 was theirs.
Yeah, 24 was theirs. They held off.
Well, the penalties helped. Penalties against Tampa definitely helped.
Yeah.
Offset the turnovers.
Sloppy. I know you like it extra sloppy.
No. Benefited us, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Saints offense puts up the most yards since the Dallas game last year. It's such a weird game.
You know, I tape all the games and I go back and watch them, and they put up some pretty weird statistics, like that one, like, you know, first time, you know, bullshit. Well, that was 8 months ago. I mean,
It's just because it's a lot of yards.
Yeah, okay, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It seemed like a silly stat. I mean,
we had 511 yards of offense for a struggling offense. I mean, it just tells, I guess, how shitty Tampa's defense is.
Take away two of those turnovers, and it's a 14-17 point victory, and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
At least the good thing was, I mean, they ran the ball and ran the ball well. And I mean, man, Pierre fucking Thomas. You talked, you know, last week, you were like, what's the deal with Pierre? Two carries, two catches?
Obviously, Sean Payton listens to the show.
Right.
You know, he only carried the ball four times. But he had eight catches. Yeah. He had four runs, but eight catches.
Yeah. Two touchdowns?
Yeah. That one was a 27-yard run.
God, it's amazing how good he has been. It really is.
Yeah, people talk about how, is he old or not? I mean, last I checked, Fred Jackson's a fantasy stud this year.
Right, he's 33. I mean, look, Pierre's still producing on the field. He's fine, as far as I can tell. I mean, just think, the Saints came down to the decision of either having to get rid of Pierre or Sproles. And I know they got a lot of heat, you know, with Sproles getting a... We got kind of some heat, you know, Sproles bitched about us last week, and he's got off to a decent start.
I'm going to actually point out, Sean Payton, I watched a Sean Payton interview where they asked him that question, and I don't think Sproles bitched last week about it. It's actually an old report during the offseason that resurfaced on social media, and nobody actually did their homework. They just took it as though it happened right there, and Sean Payton was actually kind of upset, like kind of aggravated with the reporter, because she was asking about it, and he's like, yeah, that was like several months ago, and it wasn't even true, because we, you know, he's like, just a couple months ago, I actually, you know, after that report came out, saw him in Vegas, and we were hanging out, and everything was fine. So he says, you know, it's funny how stories find a way to resurface when you're losing. But apparently Sproles never did say anything last week.
This guy is fucking stupid!
Well, either way, I'm glad we decided to keep Pierre.
Yeah.
That's
the point of the...
Right. In a roundabout way, we just... thank God for Pierre.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, and you got Cooks who can fill that role, so...
No, stop saying, oh, fill that role. Cooks is a different player, not a running back, not the same.
Oh, yeah, he falls down every time he catches the ball.
No.
You got to talk about that. It was brought up.
Well, there was the one play that I noticed for sure where he had to get a first down and fell a yard short. But for so much criticism for this kid who's still only 21 years old, it's only his fifth NFL game.
Yeah.
I can't be that mad at him. I just can't.
I agree.
To criticize him like he's a five-year veteran is just incredibly stupid.
Well, I think people's issue is that they feel like he's playing for career longevity, and, you know, a guy like Lance Moore never did shit like that. And, you know, again, people...
Hold on. The problem is nobody remembers the way Lance Moore played when he was just 21. You know why? Because he wasn't on the damn team. He was on the practice squad. Nobody remembers that shit. They talk about Lance Moore when he was a couple years in, had time in the offense. It's going to come. I mean...
It's fair.
Right, that's all I'm saying.
That's fair. I'm not agreeing with what I'm saying. I have to posit the...
You're just saying what you're agreeing with?
Yeah. I'm positing the things people are saying, and we just looking for a response from the Dome Patrol podcast.
.com, well, you got it.
You know, I don't want to, you know, throw
well, that's, I mean,
water
that's my,
on
that's
your
my
cook's
feeling
summer.
On it. I mean, that's my feeling on it. I know, like I said, the one play
right,
for
Damon,
sure in the Dome,
about
I I remember seeing it and being like, man, just go another, just keep going another 2 yards, and he would have got a first down. But
I didn't notice any of that playing for career longevity or any of that BS. Look, he's a young kid. He makes mistakes, but I think he's playing well. He's averaging over 5 catches a game, 50-plus yards. I mean, I don't really have a problem with that.
So maybe people need to quit being so overly critical or –
Right, I mean, he's
looking
a,
way too deep into every little thing.
That's what it looks like to me. He's a fine player. That's what he is. Is he Jerry Rice right now? No, he's not. Right. Is he Sproles? Is he No. But the guy's played.
It's Brandon Cooks.
Right. He's played 5 games in the NFL. He's been fine. It looks like a hit on a draft pick to me.
Is he playing better than Colston?
Well, I don't know about that, but. But old Marquise.
He's playing better than Jimmy Graham. Or at least he had a better game than Jimmy Graham.
He's not playing better than Jimmy Graham
over the course of the year. Jimmy Graham's fine. It goes back to people looking too much into things. They had a guy call in the point after yesterday talking. He was on the sideline, and he's like, Jimmy Graham, I think he was basically saying that the issue of the tight end wide receiver debate is getting, he feels like it got to Jimmy Graham, and that's why if they didn't designate him as a wide receiver, he doesn't feel like Jimmy Graham is going to play like a wide receiver. I'm just going to play like a tight end. And his justification for that is that he saw from the sideline Jimmy Graham's body language, and he wasn't smiling a lot.
Well, probably because his shoulder was killing him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the first hit that he hurt his shoulder. I mean,
No, but, Jimmy Graham's not smiling, so obviously the tight end wide receiver debate got to him.
That might be
which is also why he dropped a ball.
He dropped the ball because he's fucking hurt.
And he still played and got 2 catches.
Now, hopefully it's a sprained shoulder. Hopefully it's not too serious, but at least they do have the bye week to rest it and let it heal.
I know I took the wind out of your sails, kind of like you said, Damon, earlier, but I will say, the thing you take from this game is this team could have given up when things started to go, that halftime, Tampa Bay comes out of after half and then they get a touchdown on that opening drive. And the crowd kind of gave them the business as predicted.
Right, the crowd game, the business, the only time, now Jason, you can, the only time I heard the Boo Birds out was after the pick six.
Mm-hmm.
And, look, people were.
Man, it was amazing to watch that play, too, because you see him and, oh, all right, he gets hit and he throws it up. And, I got a perfect angle, basically from the defensive side. I see the ball go up in the air. I see the guy get it, and I see, you know, he goes in the path, and I'm like, fuck.
That you knew, you like, saw the touchdown. Before.
I saw it, and I was like, just, you could, oh, man.
Well, the funny, you know, if you look at the replay, Damon, you rewatch, I don't know if you noticed it, but like Drew Brees, I don't even think he was looking downfield when he just literally just threw that ball up.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
It was a prayer.
Did he say his arm got hit or something?
Well, if you watch,
it doesn't matter. He wasn't looking. He was looking to the side.
If you watch the replay, no, he was being hit. He was being swallowed up, and his arm got hit during that play. I mean, it's a play that he should have just tucked the ball and fell. You know, but he's trying to get every little inch of.
It's a game of inches.
Right.
But going back to the point I was trying to make, the heart that the team showed that they didn't give up and they grinded it out. Like you said, Jason, it didn't matter how you got the win. What was important was that they got it, especially coming into a bye week. You know, I think that
this
safety,
is effectively the season on the line right here.
Yeah, that safety is probably what the turning point of the game was. For all we know, we may look back. This safety could be the turning point of the season. That could be what made, you know, whatever the clicked. And you know, losing is contagious. You know, things fall apart real fast when you lose. But now we have something to build on. We have some successes. I thought Raphael Bush did a good job replacing Jairus Byrd.
And how about you? How about your boy P-Rob?
Oh, you mean J-Bird?
You can't spell interception without P-Rob.
Hey, I am going to give him some credit. That was a beautiful interception. It's very highlight worthy. He made a play on the ball. Good for him. One good play. Doesn't negate everything else he's done, but I'm certainly not going to rag on him this week.
It's a start.
That's right. And, hey, I got to give Corey White some props, too. Didn't he have a great breakup right near the goal line? He broke up a pass?
He might have. Let you track all his plays.
I do. So, hey, I'm pointing out the good and the bad. So, credit where credit's due. P-Rob, you get a reprieve this week.
I would like to see Kenny Stills get a little more involved in the offense. I think he only had one catch.
He's a nice one, too.
So I don't know if it's by design or if it's, you know, game planning and whatnot, but it seems like he's a guy we really need to get going.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Can he run fast? I mean, can he be our deep threat?
Yeah, he was last year.
Right. Why is he not?
I don't know. Why isn't Joe Morgan playing? I don't know.
Call me, Tim.
I mean, you know, Meacham's in for his blocking. He's not in for his pass catching. So you're sacrificing that. I mean, Meacham, you know, did make a few good blocks in the game, but...
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, wouldn't you kind of rather have Morgan out there just to see what happens?
Yeah, but he's not even drafting out.
It doesn't mean he's not healthy.
Why?
Exactly. Why is he not dressing out? I don't know.
Who? You know, you talk about why isn't Kenny Stills getting targets. Is it by design? I'm going to tell you why I don't think so. Drew Brees, in an interview, did kind of say that the defenses are basically forcing the offense, our offense, to do things that they don't want to do. And they're, you know, they're basically cutting off the deep ball from us, forcing us to just take the short throws, which that's evident or obvious that that's all we're taking. But then they force you, I mean, you're going to eventually want to go deep and you're going to try and force a deep ball, which is what results in either incompletions or bad pass.
Another interception, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I could see if that makes sense. The question, I think, that goes back to, in the, you know, if a defense is dictating to our offense, that's a first. Sean Payton has never allowed a defense to dictate anything.
No, it was the other way around. We would dictate the game.
Yeah. So why are they able to dictate to us now? What changed?
Didn't we ask this question last week?
Well, I think, yeah.
I mean,
but offense? I mean, I could see defense. Yeah, you cut a bunch of guys, and I don't know. It's just interesting that it's
weird. It's just it's been a weird kind of season so far.
I don't
really
know
all
how
you
to
can
act.
Say. I mean, just we're spoiled. We're spoiled from what we've seen.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, 2011. I mean, that we're never going to see anything as good as that.
Well, you know, and I noticed something that I do. this past off season, a couple of weeks ago.
Give reach arounds in the bathroom?
A couple of weeks ago on YouTube, I went back and watched some of our big games from like the Lions
playoff
game and other games. And I think we forget as fans how close some of these games were. You know, we remember the Indianapolis and the opening Lions game and the Giants, and when we remember the super big games, but we forget the close games that we really didn't maybe dominate as much as we remembered.
We had close games?
Yes, yes. More, yes, yes.
We did, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm
proving your point.
So that's the only thing I can...
And these close games, those close ones that are forgettable, are usually the difference between, you know, that's like a 3 or 4 game swing for any football season. I mean, you know...
Well, that's why in 07 and 08, we lost those games.
Right.
In 09, 10, 11, you know, 13,
them.
We won those games.
Right. That's really the season, is what you do with those games, or which way the ball bounces in those situations.
I mean, look, we're a couple of plays away from being 4-1 right now.
Yeah. I mean... Colston doesn't fumble the ball in Atlanta. Who knows where that goes? Dallas would be the only game that would...
Right, Dallas, yeah, we just weren't ever in it. That's, yeah, no chance we ever win that game.
Right.
At least not this year.
Yeah. All right, so that's it for game recap.
I will go. They started something new in the Dome this week.
Except for this.
I don't. All of a sudden, they start playing this loud train noise.
Oh, I heard it on TV, and no. I was kind of wondering about that.
Well, that's new.
Did you like it?
I don't know yet. I gotta see how it hits me the next game too.
It's just, I remember hearing it. It was loud.
It was just weird. It was just something I'm not used to.
I don't get it.
Yeah, like, did the players choose that? Because it has nothing to do with Saints. It has nothing.
It's our way of pumping artificial noise into the building.
And it's when we're on defense?
Yeah, we're on defense.
On third downs, right?
It's something new. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it yet. I need to give it another game or two. But it was something different.
I mean, I kind of get it. Like, oh, we're a train. Like, usually the train would be like an offensive thing. It sounds like they're...
No, it's just... No, that's not... You're reading too much into it. It's just fucking noise. All it is.
It's just noise.
Jesus.
Play a thunderstorm,
like,
then.
You're trying to get inside the train's head, like... What does the train have to say about the Saints? Like, you literally sat there and just tried to figure that out.
The existentialism.
Right. Nope, just noise. Just,
nope.
Oh, loud.
Maybe the train symbolizes that we are a team unit and only as strong as the caboose.
Right, right.
Junior Gillette is the conductor.
So, that was a little interesting new thing. Hey, they tried something
What
different.
Is the train hauling? What is it, a passenger train? A freight train? Call me, tell me. Is it Thomas the train?
Oh, yeah, Pierre Thomas.
Oh, there you go. That's when they ought to play the train every time that motherfucker touches the ball.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, Pierre doesn't get stopped behind the backfield. You throw him a swing pass. He takes it for a touchdown. Is he 30 plus yet, or is he still 29?
He might be 29.
He's 29.
Yeah, and he doesn't have a lot of carries on his body. I mean, he could last theoretically for another couple of years.
Yeah. Oh, no, he is a special, special player.
I really wish I'd have gotten his jersey back when I got all those other jerseys that aren't any good anymore.
And look, I don't take away from Kyrie. Kyrie has been playing good football in the starting position for Mark Ingram.
Yeah, look, you're right. You're right.
Look, man, you know that, again, I've been to a lot of NFL games. This might have been, I don't know, my first safety, second. Nah, it couldn't have been first. But, you know, you don't get to see many of them. And it was so awesome in the Dome when to get that safety. I mean,
everybody felt it before it happened, huh? Everybody was kind of like, hey, we might get a safety here. And everybody wanted it.
Right, you know, they messed up on the snap, and they
and then they get the penalty.
Right, lose 18 yards, and they get a delay of game penalty like a bunch of dummies. And backed up, and then Gallet just got. I mean, it was on my corner of the end zone, or I guess you'd call it, you know, the end zone a little bit closer to me, and it was just
opposite, Jason. Yeah, because that was down on the other side.
Right. Okay. Then, and it was just. I mean, you know, you saw. I'm sitting there watching, and it looks like he's free, and it's like, oh God, please get to him. I mean, yes, I guess for you in that moment. I wanted the safety more than I wanted the game, if that makes any sense. You know,
yeah.
That's
the beauty of, like, I remember explaining to my kids, they were like, what, you know, just explaining to them, like, that is, like, it said they're so rare in football, you know, that it's this, yeah. And then I'm like, and they're like, how many points do we get? I'm like, 2. They were like, that's all? Like,
right.
Yeah, you're kind of right. They're so rare. They ought to be like 12 points.
Right, no, but that's exactly. They're so rare, and it's the least amount you can get. But, man, when you get them, you just love them. Because they're like super secret extra points. You know what I mean?
I mean,
they're extra points. You're going to get the ball back.
And you do get the ball after in good field position as well. So.
Well, okay, and I guess you get the answer.
Yeah, even Greg McMahon can't fuck that up, right?
Right. I mean, that the free kick after a safety, that's to benefit the team that got the safety. It's like a tip of the hat, right? You got only 2, but we're going to go ahead and even give you a little bit more.
Right. You could technically turn that 2 into 9.
Right. Yeah, that play was and I think Jason alluded to it earlier.
Right after we missed the 2-point conversion.
Right,
like, there's our 2.
Right. I mean, it's a, you know, gift. But the crowd had kind of gotten out of it in the, you know, at the end of the second into the third quarter because of the play of the offense. But it was loud. It was loud when we got them inside their 5-yard line. The dome was loud. The fans were in it. The fans were rocking. The fans were.
Again, that came across on TV, on the broadcast. I got to say, I like watching games on Fox a lot better than CBS. CBS seems to mute the crowd. Like, they really turn the crowd volume down. I fall asleep watching games on CBS, but Fox lets the crowd noise come through.
It's always fun when you get to be in the dome and it's loud like that.
That's why you go. You know, that's that, and I've said it on here before, man. The great thing about being in the stadium is, at least for me, because if I'm at home, I'll pace and I'll go walk around the house. But it's that, man, you're we're 13 points up. Okay, we're getting it done. Okay, all right, this is going to be good. We're going to score a touchdown. We're going to be 20-0, and we're going to roll. We're going to get confidence. They're going to fold and all that, you know, and you're kind of up. And then, oh my God, they just gave away 10 points in a matter of 30 seconds. What the fuck? Oh my God, they scored. Oh my, we're going to fucking lose to the Bucks. Are you kidding me? We're going to lose to the fucking Buccaneers. I mean, it can't get any worse. Season's over. I'm so lonely. This sucks.
Yeah.
You know.
And then the safety. Oh my God, life is
then
wonderful.
You get a safety. And right, you know, it's like, fuck you, man. We got a safety. We're the greatest defense of all time.
Super Bowl.
Just the peaks and the valleys inside the stadium. And the crowd really does amplify that. Mm-hmm. It is just so, so awesome.
Well, the players respond to that, too. I mean, this is what now? 18 straight games that Sean Payton has won in the Dome?
Yep.
And what is it? The just straight up the Saints? Is it
10?
10? Okay, let's just say 11. All right, so that is it for that. Let's move into tweets from the Twitter thing. So Neil tweeted, and he wants to know, we might have just talked about it, the most hysterical / over-the-top reaction heard or seen, A, when we were losing on Sunday, and B, after we won. So you guys from the Dome, I mean, I could tell you some shit I saw on Twitter, and I don't know if that's what he's referring to, but we... I saw people, the equivalent of people jumping out of the Empire State Building in the 1930s during the Great Depression when we were losing, the Twitter version of that. People were literally falling off the bandwagon this week. And how quickly I think they ran to try and catch back on it after we won.
Well, that is one good thing I did. I did not check Twitter at all during the game. So that was kind of good. But, I'm trying to think. I don't know, when we were down, it was just, I didn't see anything crazy out of the ordinary. But, even when we got to say it's when we won, it's nothing out of the ordinary. Nothing too crazy, I don't know.
Yeah, in this stadium, people get mad, obviously, and we've talked about before, but nothing.
I didn't see any fights.
Right. But, as long as I've been going, if I've seen two fights.
Well, you kind of sit in a classier section.
Well, right.
Yeah, I guess.
I think we're looking more in Jason's area, in 648,
right. Where I've seen
the riffraff hangout.
Really, Jason, how many fights do you think you've seen?
I'll be honest, it's been a while since I've seen fights. Now, a lot of them were...
That's because Adam doesn't sit with y'all with
anymore. Right.
How many of those fights were Adam involved in?
Maybe at least half.
Okay, exactly.
But, look, I will say, a lot of these were from 04 through to 08. I don't think there was anything... Maybe he did have one last argument with Quagmire.
That was... Yeah, that's what made him leave.
That was probably 11 or 12, I think.
Yeah, but everybody in your section's a little older now.
But like,
but
there was one time we were there with a couple of friends of ours, and they went down the steps, and somebody actually did up get into a fight, but he wasn't a normal guy who sat with us. It was just a friend of ours. They got into a fight.
All right. So did anybody say anything ridiculous? Like,
no fire breathe. No. See that.
Yeah,
Doug.
Like fire somebody bag comments or
no. That's Doug. You gotta go with Doug. Whenever Bree throws an interception, he goes, "Oh, good job, Bree! There you go." That's what we need. He's such an overreacting. He's such a overreacting guy.
Like every play is the
right.
It's easy to get caught up in the heat of the moment. And we say that we spoke last week about keep your cool. You don't want to get caught on that. And I started thinking about. I was debating myself like I always do. I'm a masturbator.
Well, you have no friends, so no one will talk to you, so you have to stay with yourself. It's what that real, I hate to give you that real strong analysis, but that's the truth. Your wife don't want to talk to you, and your kids are smarter than you are, so you have to debate with yourself.
It's funny when you say that my kids are smarter than me. My kids also...
Not really. It's sad.
No, they asked during the game themselves, why does Brandon Cooks always fall down after he catches the ball? That was an observation that 2 6-year-olds made.
You say cleats?
I don't know, kids. Did you see if his shoelaces were tied? But no. I forgot what I was saying. Oh, yeah. I was debating myself about on that point that, that is kind of what makes being a fan. You talk about riding the highs and lows in the stadium. Having those irrational reactions and mood swings during the game and yelling and screaming and getting mad and then yelling and screaming in excitement. If we didn't allow ourselves to do that kind of stuff and we were just stoic the entire time, we'd be Houston fans or Falcons fans. It's the emotion and the fact that we embrace that is what makes being a Saints fan or being a fan of any sport for that matter worth being a fan, isn't it?
Yeah, look, Jason, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, that's fine.
It's we all do this. If you're more than a casual fan of a team, any and everything that happens with them, we take personal. We have a personal, even though a Saints win or loss has no bearing on my actual life. My bills don't go up, my bills don't go down, I don't get more money in my pocket, I don't have less money in my pocket. Actually, I have less money in my pocket when they win, because I'm buying stuff or drinking more out of celebration, because I do not drink to cover sadness. But we take a...
Nope, that's what the masturbating's for.
You know? But we, fans all over the U.S. and the world, you know, look at it with soccer. People take a huge personal stake in these sports games. You know, and I don't know why. Is it like some kind of tribal thing that we want to belong to something? And like I've said many times before, look, I'm not a Saints fan. I'm a New Orleans fan.
If you left New Orleans and moved out of New Orleans and moved to another city,
I could
say,
never.
Say San Diego.
Right.
Would you still be a Saints fan in San Diego, or would you become a Chargers fan?
No. With me, you know, I mean, that's it. I am a New Orleans fan. As long as the Saints are in the city of New Orleans, I'm a Saints fan. If, you know, we have a Cleveland Brown-esque situation or somewhere, or like that, you know, people who used to be Oilers fans aren't Titans fans. They're Texans fans. I'd imagine, at least I'd hope so. At least a true, at least a true fan, in my opinion, is, you know.
I'm sure you'll have some of the older people that are still, maybe they stuck with the franchise. That's interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Not only, like, now they got a team again, but they're also in the same division as their former team.
Oh, I mean, I know for me personally, I mean, come on. Imagine if Benson, let's say, would have moved the team to San Antonio, and, you know, then we would have gotten another team, the New Orleans, whatever.
Super the Saints, right? Like, let's say he moved the Saints but didn't keep the Saints.
Well, that's the thing, you know. But
he
Adam
would have kept the Saints.
Like, he would have kept the franchise but changed the name, because it wouldn't be San Antonio Saints. It'd be San Antonio, not Cowboys. But let's say that happened, and then we were awarded a franchise,
right,
and they would be the Saints again. Of course, we would be Saints fans and not Ben.
No, but let's say no, but it doesn't matter.
But what
if he would move the team to San Antonio and kept the name Saints, and now they're the San Antonio Saints, which sounds...
The San Antonio Santos.
Okay, and we got the New Orleans Gators. You'd be a New Orleans Gator fan. You wouldn't be a Saints fan.
Yeah, you're right. That's what I'm saying.
Right. I mean, right. We're not. Yeah, I guess I'm not a Saints fan. I'm that name that goes in front of Saints. I'm not a Pelicans fan. I'm that. Look. There's the Hornets are back playing in Charlotte. I'm not a Charlotte fan. I'm a New Orleans Pelicans, Jazz, whatever they are fan.
Well, yeah, with the team that plays in this city.
Right. Right. You know. And again, this goes back to the irrational. You know, this is our tribe. New Orleans is our tribe. It is our mecca.
Mm-hmm.
It is our culture. You know, it represents our culture to everybody. You know, across the globe, they don't know La Place Reserve. That Place is the andouille capital of the world. For goodness sake, which is so wonderful. Now, you don't know that the best andouille in the world comes from La Place.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
It would, but
that one in a while.
But You know that Cajun food and andouille is from New Orleans.
You know
what
I'm people
saying?
From Lafayette put potato salad in their gumbo.
Right. So that's what it is. I will always be a New Orleans fan.
Yeah, it's true.
God, how did we get off on that tangent?
I'm not sure.
It'll be interesting to listen.
I forget
back
what
and
the
find out.
I forget what the fucking question was.
Right.
It was. The most hysterical, over-the-top reaction.
Somehow we got through franchises moving.
Right. There you go, Neil. The most hysterical, over-the-top reaction when we were losing. People were talking about the Saints leaving town. All right, let's move ahead in the show. We're going to skip headlines. Let's do a Saints headlines and do it as the injury report. Because... lot of injuries in this game.
Jimmy Graham, that was it.
Yeah.
Jimmy Graham got hurt.
Maybe Goodwin didn't. Yeah, Goodwin got hurt, right? Again.
Well, I mean, whether they got
did
hurt,
he
just,
did he get hurt or did he not start?
Maybe he just. I thought he did start. Did he not?
I couldn't tell. Did he? Okay. I didn't notice that.
He wasn't in there for long.
Right. That's what I noticed, that he wasn't in there.
Jeff got a Lito chub in his pants.
It's a chimichanga.
Chimichubba.
No, sir. I didn't like it.
Shit, we're going to have to go off of memory. Well, I know Junior Gallette came out for a few plays because he got hurt, but he came back and got the safety.
Right. Yeah, look, that's definitely something, injuries that you really notice more on TV than you do at the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless they're down very long and they're getting carted off for it.
Right. Yeah, because Goodwin, I mean, Zach Strief.
I remember that going down.
Harris had to come in for him. Yeah, okay. I mean, there was a point where it felt like there, like about seven of our starters had gotten hurt in some capacity during this game. And that could have contributed to the lull. You know, again, like you said, you're in the stadium, you don't necessarily catch as much of that of what goes on during the course of the game, but there's a lot of variables that contribute to what happens. And perhaps those injuries piling up, we had to overcome that, and we did.
Yeah. Well, no, Drew threw a stupid fucking pass when he should have taken a sack and got a pick six. I mean,
it was because the pocket collapsed on him, and it could be because Goodwin and Street.
Right, right. Well, right, but he still should have just put the ball down and took a sack. And I get what you're saying. I mean, yes, perhaps the pressure came because of an injury to someone, but yeah, take the sack.
It's a butterfly effect.
Right.
See, Zach Strief gets hurt, and
all hell breaks loose.
The touchdown,
mm-hmm.
But I was going to say one thing about the game. Look, you know the biggest reason we won this game is because we had six penalties for, I don't know, 50 yards, and the Bucks had like 16 penalties for 130 yards.
Plus, Peyton mentioned that they had a bunch, so many yards, like negated as a penalties on their part.
The Bucks?
Like 150 something yards were negated because of their penalties.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean,
there was at least two plays that.
Right. Big play. You're right. You're right. But you know what? Some of these penalties, okay, I mean, it's getting to be hands to the face and illegal touching. I mean, look. It was third and nine, or maybe longer, and overtime, and we didn't make it, and we got a illegal touching on the defense that gave us the first down.
Yeah. Almost kind of felt like they were helping us out a little bit on purpose.
This guy is fucking stupid!
The penalties are... I understand they want to make a point of emphasis, and we were all pissed off last year about the way they let the Seattle Seahawks play, that they continue to let them play, you know, and maybe they're just trying to tell us to go fuck ourselves. But but my point is being the penalties are getting a little. Come on.
Well, they're definitely gonna start allowing the refs to control the game a lot more.
Well, that's what it seems like.
Yeah, the penalties are a big part in the game, and the way I look at it too, like all those plays that Tampa Bay had, the big plays that were then called back. You know, even though it helped us to win the game, and that's what's important, I think you still have to, if you're looking at it from a where is the Saints' talent or where are we at as a team, they still let that happen. You know what I mean? Even though it doesn't count because of a penalty, it happened. They still got burned.
Right, yeah, no, I hear what you're saying.
So, and that makes me nervous, is that we'd still let up a lot of big plays. It just, they didn't hurt us because the penalties.
Right. There were those two back-to-back plays where we gave us something like 58 yards or 48 yards, and both times Tampa had, you know, had it call back.
All right. Next segment is...
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Apparently, Tony Sparano, the interim coach of the Oakland Raiders, started this week by burying a football to bury the first four games of the season. Why does that sound familiar?
We tried to bury a season.
Maybe we should dig that one up.
Well, that was after 06, right?
Yeah, I believe it was, wasn't it?
Like that was it was a while ago. Just because I just remember that.
Yeah, the NFC
so much
Championship.
Success.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't let it go to your head, kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So we buried it. Because it was a good season. He's buried.
And then we promptly started the season 0-4. So They know stuff like that works.
So maybe he picked up on that. All right. Next segment is the NFL reach around.
Where's the money? When are you going to get the money? Why aren't you getting the money now? And so on. So please, the money.
Which contains your NFL Network rant.
So last night, after the New England Patriots-Cincinnati Bengal game, about 10 minutes left in the game, it was already over, basically. I turned to NFL Network because I wanted to catch the highlights of the games that I missed during the day. You know, when I'm away in the dome, you see scores flashing in the dome, but you don't really know what, you know, went on. So you look forward, at least me as a football fan, to coming home and seeing the rest of the games.
And maybe catch a little, see how they talk about the Saints win, right?
Well, exactly. Especially when we win. When we lose, fuck it, I just watch, you know, something else.
Right.
But, so I turn on NFL Network. They have their day recap with Michael Irvin and LaDainian Tomlinson and Marshall Faulk and some white guy. And they talked about the Dallas Cowboys. I watched, I timed it. Okay, I was for 39 minutes in a row. They showed the entire fucking Tony Romo post-game press conference. This is fucking ridiculous. These suck-ass do-nothing Cowboys are 4-1 for the first time in 6 years, and that's all they get to talk. Are you fucking kidding me? For 39 minutes in a row? And all, I mean, it was just, and y'all have heard me rant about this before in, you know, other episodes about how there is no NFL recap show anymore. Not one of any substance. So they talk about the Cowboys for 39 minutes. The Patriots game gets over. They talk about that for about 10, 15 minutes, and they go back to the Cowboys. I mean, literally, it was Cowboys, Cowboys, Cowboys. Oh, yeah, this happened. Cowboys, Cowboys, Cowboys. Oh, this happened. Cowboys, Saints played. Cowboys, Cowboys. Man, fuck you. And you know what? I watched it for an hour and a half because I was so angry, but I couldn't turn it. Okay, I mean, I'm one of these dummies. I said, you know, they can't be doing this. Any second now, this is going to stop. But no, it was an over an hour. I watched it and I said, oh, fuck this. I'll read the paper. Just horrible. Just horrible NFL Network. Yeah, and I can't comment on ESPN because they've already pissed me off and I quit watching them unless it's a football or college game.
Well, they've been waiting 13 years, 14 years for this.
To suck the Cowboys' cock, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they've been pushing the Cowboys down our throats with mediocre teams. So now that they're 4-1, I mean, yeah, they're blowing their loads all over the place.
Yeah, you better jump on it now because in 2 weeks they're going to be 4-3.
Yeah, I mean, they do have to go to Seattle, right?
Yes, they do. Yep, that's the next game. Next week is Seattle.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to get... Can they flex games yet? Are they bringing...
No, it's way too early for that.
All right. I was going to say, because if they could, you know that's going to be the Sunday night game.
Well, the day games... The day games get to choose, you know, good games also.
Yeah. So, you know, that's going to be on everybody's TV.
They're not totally shut out.
To be honest with you, I probably will want to watch that one, but more, it's kind of like, it's win-win or lose-lose. Like, if Seattle beats Dallas, great, Dallas fucking lost. Awesome. Or if Dallas beats Seattle, it's like, great, Seattle lost. Awesome. So,
no, exactly.
So we're going to get something good out of it. But that is interesting that it's 39 minutes of Cowboy coverage.
Nothing but that's all they talked about. and Michael Irvin, and this guy's an idiot. He must be back on dope. And they're all, you know, man, I would love to see a professional NFL recap show like they used to have back in my day.
Yeah. Used to be, you could turn on the TV, get a good NFL recap show.
Now
you're stuck watching cowboy cocksucking contests.
Yeah.
Sure, you'll get a lot of Tony Romo, but while Dallas is being featured on the TV, Michael Irvin snorting cocaine while he fucks your wife. Anyway. The end of that segment, I guess. Nothing more to say about it.
No, again, I just want to, you know, I don't know what we can do. Tweet NFL Network, they suck.
No, I don't watch NFL Network anyway.
Well,
I don't watch Thursday games.
Jason, I don't watch him much anymore either. Again, it's the only late night recap show on. ESPN doesn't have one anymore. You know,
it's just, you know, the NFL Network is so pro league because obviously it's run by the league. So I just can't. I don't know. I just don't deal with that shit. So fuck the NFL, fuck Roger Goodell, and fuck his network.
Okay, so thanks for that, Damon. Now it's time for Pick'ems.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game and how you play it. All about control.
Hey, you shouldn't go UGG. You kept your hot streak up. You went 4-1.
Oh, did I?
Last week, you sure did.
Who did I miss? I had the whole. Only one I remember, I guess, well, maybe with the point spreads, I might have won one, and even though I lost my team.
Bears. We all picked the Bears. We all lost.
Okay, that's the one, right. I guess fucking Carolina, fucking Bears.
Right, right. And the, who had a lead.
Right.
You know, the Bears had a lead and then kind of turned it over, gave it away at the end of the game. But it's interesting that the two of you guys switched from Arizona to Denver for a re-recording, and Denver ended up destroying Arizona. So...
So we would have gotten it wrong.
Right, yeah, yeah, would have gotten it wrong.
Right, but we wound up getting it right.
And then, Damon, you and I had Tennessee, who ended up losing the game by one. They were up 28-3, and they ended up losing 28-29.
But they were getting points.
Right, they got, no, Tennessee, oh shit, never mind, I fucked that up.
Aha!
As is, of course, the tradition.
So yeah. I went 3-2.
Reset the counter, back to zero episodes. Damn. So Damon and Jeff both went 3-2. Damn, and I went 1-4. It's not good.
Catching up.
So now I am at 11-12-2, so I'm under 500. Jeff is at 8-15-2. And Damon is at 9-14-2. So, Damon, you got a one-game lead on Jeff.
And then on Twitter, Adam did not play again, so he's off the board. Jason, you said you're 11-12. Alex Barbie moves to the top with an 11-8-1 record. Then we got Nola Space Monkey, 7-7-1. And then, Jason, you're 11-12-2.
Just trying to get their hopes up.
Yeah. Neil, 9-10-1. Craig, 5-18-2. So, Craig, you are the Jacksonville Jaguars of Pick'ems. Thank you for making sure that I'm not. So, all right. There you go. And we had two new Twitter players. Glenn 2722 and BGM 053. You guys play next week, then you will make the board.
All right, we done with all that.
Yep.
And
Glenn did go 4-1, and BGM went 5-0.
Maybe we shouldn't let him in our Pick'ems game. All right, we will start off with our first game. It'll be a Thursday night game, which means it'll probably be shitty. It's another division game. The Indianapolis Colts at the Houston Texans. Colts coming off a big win at home against Baltimore. Will travel to Houston, who lost to Dallas in overtime last week. Houston is catching 2.5 points at home.
I'll go first, as is tradition on this show, and I'll take the Indianapolis Colts. I believe in Andrew Luck.
You're saying 2.5 they're getting?
Houston is getting 2.5.
Oh, Houston's getting 2.5. All right.
Yes.
And they still
at
don't
home.
Have a quarterback.
At home, still don't have a quarterback. You know what? I think I'm also going to go with the Colts because I'm going to pick a big-time player on a big-time stage. Here's the question. Y'all think this game will be another blowout in the tradition of Thursday games?
Oh, yes. Did you hear, oh, God, who the running back for the...
Oh, Foster bitched about Thursday Night Football.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, ladies, right?
Saying the fans don't like it, they're crap games, the players don't like it.
No, sir, I didn't like it.
I'm going to go with Indy as well. Like you said, no quarterback in Houston, and Indy being Indy.
All right, our next game, going to be a little intriguing matchup here. I'm sure the national media is going to love it. The Dallas Cowboys at Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, the Cowboys. Oh!
Can we spend 39 minutes talking about this game?
Maybe 39 seconds.
What's the spread?
What's the spread?
Seattle is favored by 8.5.
Jerry Jones' eyes.
That spread's not too far apart.
I'm sorry, I was so busy trying to make my joke I didn't hear you. 8.5 points, you said?
8.5.
8.5?
Seems like a lot, but I mean, it is. It's in Seattle.
Oh.
I'm going to go with Seattle, even with the 8.5.
Yeah, that's you know, we've talked about that. That big spread like that, Seattle being home. Oh, wait, that would mean that we'd have to pick Dallas.
That's how that works.
I'm going to take Dallas. I'm going to take Dallas in this one. I think, you know, the way you beat Seattle is you got to run the ball, and Dallas is coming in with the top rusher in the league. So if anybody's going to do it right now, I hate to say it.
Oh, see. Boy, you've made my decision tough.
Yeah, he actually made some sense there.
Yeah, he did. He did. But my decision is, do I play it safe and go with Jason? And because I wanted to take Seattle, but Jeff, you made a lot of sense. I'm gonna take the. Wow.
It's a big spread.
Well,
Seattle's still gonna win the
point.
Game. Seattle could still win the
right,
game.
Right.
They might win by three.
Exactly.
They win by seven.
Yeah. No, 100%. I'm gonna take Seattle.
Oh, but wait, it is a Thursday night game, right?
No, it's not. That was last game.
That was the Houston game.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I'm retarded. Seattle's playing right now. All right, go ahead.
All right, our next game. Game going into the season, you wouldn't think it'd be great, but man, the way one of these teams is playing, this is actually turning out to be a pretty good game. The New York Giants coming off 3 straight wins at the Philadelphia Eagles. Philly is favored by 2.5. This game is in Philadelphia.
And they're only favored by 2.5?
Only favored by 2.5.
I, sir, we're not here to guess that.
The Giants been putting up points or something?
They did beat the Falcons.
That's not saying much.
I guess not. We couldn't do it.
So I'm going to take, this one's in Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Eagles based on my net points strategy from the past. Eagles net points is 24, Giants is 22. I think that's close enough to 2.5 that they're covering in my math. I know it's two, but
I'm not,
not
sure.
An exact science. Net points isn't an exact science.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go with the Eagles at home. They're pretty explosive. The Giants lost there. I think they lost their first two games and won three in a row since.
Yeah.
So.
And they seemed to struggle this week, didn't they?
Yeah, against Atlanta, they were down and were able to come back against a shitty Falcons team. So I'm going to take the Birds this week.
Well, I'm going to go with the Giants. Playing well, got Beckham back. You know, I don't think Philly is all that. Philly's offense has kind of struggled a little bit lately, so.
All right.
in the Giants. All right, our next game, Carolina fucking Panthers, coming off that damn win. Panthers at the Cincinnati Bengals. The spread seemed kind of high to me. Cincinnati, of course, coming off the loss at New England. Now that there are no more undefeated teams in the league.
That is very strange for week five for there to be no undefeated teams.
I can't remember the last time we were this early in the season without one.
It's been, Indianapolis went about like 6 years winning their first 10.
I blame it's the new practice rules.
It's just more parity and you and your practice. It's just a weird season so far. But Cincinnati is favored by 7.
Wow.
Now, they do play well at home. I believe, I don't think they lost a game at home last year in the regular season. And then this year they've won a couple games so far at home.
I'm taking it.
Cincinnati?
Yeah. I'm going to say Carolina, like the Saints, is not a good road team. I mean, look at what Baltimore did to them in Baltimore. And then they came back and win at home. And I'm going to hope, for our sake and for my pick'em's sake, that that's the case. They're not a road team.
I'll go with Cincinnati.
Hey, welcome to the club.
I may regret it, but coming off a loss.
What is the spread?
7. Cincinnati's given up 7.
I got to go with Cincinnati. They might have lost last week on the road to a pissed off New England Patriots team that had something to prove. But Cincinnati has been real impressive this season, besides last against the Patriots. the Patriots are not a bad team. So I'm going to go Cincinnati. Carolina are still pretenders in my book. Cam Newton is an idiot, and Ron Rivera is a moron.
And just to throw out the net points out of these two teams, Cincinnati's net points is 21. Carolina's net points is -16.
And they're 3-2?
Yep.
Of course.
But Tampa Bay, not to be outdone, their net points is -53.
Oof.
But that is not the worst in the league.
Ooh, I think I could probably guess who's the worst in the league. It's got to be Jacksonville, right?
Yes, it is. With an 0-5 record, they have -102.
Oh, my goodness. They have been all that.
They have scored 67 points this year, and they've allowed 169.
What's our net points?
Negative 9.
Negative 9?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of negative 9, let's go to our shitty game of the week.
Here we go! Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far.
Speaking of the aforementioned Jacksonville Jaguars, of course we're gonna have them in our game. The winless Jags are at the one-win Tennessee Titans. Tennessee, of course, coming off blowing that huge lead at home to the Browns. Don't understand why Charlie Whitehurst is in a quarterback and not Zach Mettenberger, but they're continuing to try it out. Actually, Jake Locker came back and played and probably got hurt again. So I don't know who's quarterback in Tennessee this week. This game is in Tennessee, and they are favored by 6. That's how bad Jacksonville is.
And that you're exactly. That is how bad Jacksonville is. I mean,
In Tennessee.
I'll take Tennessee over Jacksonville. I mean, that should be a no-brainer.
Yeah, same here.
This weird NFL season.
Well, go ahead and take a shot.
I think I'll wait. I think I'll do it. I already took the shot this week.
Considering the whole 50 points between the two of them, net point-wise on the season.
All right, there you go. That's your game.
Okay. So don't forget, listeners, you want to play Pick'ems with us, we're going to post the link on our Twitter feed at Dome Patrol PCast. Just go to the survey and make your selections. See if you have what it takes.
to take Jason down, which someone already has.
I think two people have.
Yeah.
Not that hard.
But they don't have winning records. Oh, wait, no, Alex does. Alex is 11-8-1. But I think he's the only one with a winning record. And then Nola Space Monkey is 7-7-1. All right. Okay, so let's leave the football arena for a moment as we... we have the return of Pelican Plunge.
The game.
Yeah.
Playing to survive. Aiming to win any way they can.
You're gonna win.
Yeah. Yeah, pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw, too fast for y'all. You might take a nasty ball, trying to stick with the prehistoric passenger.
See, you didn't forget how to do that.
Even though we wish you had.
So, it won't be too big of a plunge just to say that the preseason has officially started. Pelicans played the Heat up in Louisville on Saturday night. And ended up beating them. Davis only played a quarter. Ashik only played a quarter. But some of the reserves got in. Anderson got back to action, made some threes, and they ended up winning the game. They, you know, Jimmer Fredette had a solid game. A lot of the reserve guys played fairly well. And it is just preseason, but it's encouraging to see them make shots and score some points, get the win. So, only problem is you can't watch it on TV. None of the preseason games are on TV. None.
Is that just our preseason games or no NBA preseason games?
Oh, no, I'm sure. Like, if you're a Heat fan, they do the Heat broadcast. Yeah, they can get the game down there. Just for some reason,
okay.
None of our games are on. So the only way we can listen to them is 3WL, 1350. That's it. So I was listening to some tonight. They're playing Atlanta tonight in Atlanta. I believe they were losing last time I checked. But season's here. It's 3 weeks until opening night, so it's coming. People, get on board. I guess that's probably it. I mean, it's a little bit of a how's your father.
All right. Final thoughts, Jason.
Final thoughts.
Because we don't have a game preview, obviously.
Right, right. Look, some people are disappointed with the game, but the key thing is we did win. They do have the bye this week to kind of get things right. And, you know, a win always boosts your confidence, no matter how close it may be. It's always hard to win games in the NFL. And maybe this is the way this team is now. Maybe this is just what we have to get used to seeing, close games like this. So just happy to, you know, we got the bye week at the right time. Because, look, the stretch of games coming up over the next few weeks is not easy. You got some good teams we got to play. Let's just hope they can continue to figure out whatever's been wrong so far.
I'd like to use my final thoughts to give some props to some of the participants in Sunday's game. Gave the special teams a hard time last week. They played much better this week. Kept the running game in check. Even though I had absolutely no confidence in Shane Graham making that 44-yard field goal to tie the game, he did. Kudos to you, Mr. Graham. Kudos to Sean Payton, who decided to stick with the run this week. It looked like it paid off, so I am happy to see that. Also, give props to the defense. They didn't give up terribly big plays. Now, again, penalties were our friend, but when they needed to make the big stops in the big plays, they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know something we totally forgot to mention?
Nope.
Jarius Byrd.
Oh, yeah. We kind of did when we talk about Raphael Bush, but...
But really, we didn't really bring it up because we haven't had the podcast since he got hurt.
That's right. All right. Well, what do you got to say about it?
No, sir. I didn't like it.
I mean, he hadn't played great so far this year, but still, a talent like that, it sucks when you don't have that, you know, the ability to put him on the field. It's just crazy. How just a weird fluke non-contact play in practice just puts him out.
Is it a meniscus tear or
tear? They said it's tear, okay. Torn.
So is that a total tear or a?
We had surgery already. Just a crazy blow. Obviously, coming off of off the Dallas game, and then to have that happen this week is just crushing. A lot of people thinking, oh, maybe this just isn't our year. This is one of those years where just nothing's going to go right.
Hey, I got a late tweet from the Twitter thing that I do think is worth bringing up at the end of the show here.
Oh, you mean Tweetbird?
Tweety Bird.
Tweety Bird, uh-huh.
So this comes in from one of our new Twitter followers, Viva La Waffle. And they say, there's many defensive problems, but after 5 weeks, Saints have the number one ranked offense. Is that true?
Maybe in terms of yards.
So they said, so why does something still feel so off?
I could tell you, turnovers. I mean, what are we on the season? We have to be minus.
You like Viva La Waffles? Well, we like turnovers. No, we don't like turnovers.
Like, I mean, we've got an absolutely terrible turnover ratio so far this year.
Well,
I mean, that's killing this team.
Turnovers have cost us the entire. I mean, they cost us the Atlanta game. Marquise, your brother, fumbling in overtime. Pick six in Cleveland.
Yeah, pick six in Cleveland.
That was right before halftime. Also, if I'm not mistaken.
And then all the fumbles in Dallas.
Right, all the fumbles in Dallas. And this week, finally, we get a win. People's, oh, breathed, you know, he lost his long ball, da, 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 da. I'm not sure exactly what's wrong with it. But he has been, it seems that he's underthrowing the receivers. But a couple of those plays, the receivers were only 25, 30 yards downfield. Trust me, his arm is much stronger than 35 yards. Okay, I mean, he can throw a 40-yard pass. To me, it seemed more like a timing issue.
And, yeah, we are just talking about yards.
Okay.
442 yards per game.
Okay, which, I mean, yards can be a little deceiving.
Right, sometimes you're trying to catch up. And they're trash yards.
Mean Aaron Brooks is half his career?
Exactly.
They can move the ball, that's for sure. But it's really the turnovers. I mean, you know, the defense hadn't played great, but it's just been the killer turnovers. You get, you know, a few less turnovers, and you're looking at 3-2, 4-1.
Right. God forbid our defense could get turnovers, and our offense would stop producing them.
Baby steps. We finally got off the schneid and got our first interception this week.
All right.
But, I mean, Bird being out has, I think, a big guarantee next year. So, I mean, I know his salary cap number is going to bump up a lot next year, like a lot of other guys. But, you know, we'll worry about that when we get there. I'm not worried about that. But it just kind of sucks, man. I mean, big off-season signing just comes in and 4 weeks, all you got.
Somebody did the math. I think he got paid, and he comes up to, like, $1.9 million per tackle or something. It was something outrageous.
Well, but I will say the good news is we did keep Bush around, and he's played in this defense before, so at least we don't have a Corey White or Patrick Robinson problem at safety, too, on top of cornerback. At least we got somebody there that we kind of have a little faith in, but it sucks for him, too. Just sucks, but look, we lost. Look at all the injuries we had last year, and we somehow found a way to get around it. So who knows? Maybe it'll end up working out for us.
All right. Anybody else? Nothing. Nobody. That's it. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're gonna thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Check us out on Facebook by searching Dome Patrol Podcast. We're also on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. So. If you don't listen to us on iTunes or Android or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, weak donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation. Fire.